Ramsey TV.
Hey, teacher. Leave those kids alone. Hey, teacher. Leave those kids alone. Hey, teacher. Hey, teacher. Leave them kids alone. Yeah, we don't need no education. No, so, teacher, leave them kids alone. I don't know why that came to my mind this morning, but it did. That's right, Monday morning, Martin Zender here with you at the edge of the bottom of the day, the edge of the bottom of the peninsula, the edge of the bottom of Eon 3, the edge of the bottom of everything. Hey, teacher? Is this a teacher? All right. Hey, teacher? Leave them kids alone. The question today is the Christian God better than no God? Now, if you have somewhere to go and you can't listen to the rest of the show, I'll give you the quick answer. The quick answer is no. The Christian God is not better than no God at all. Therefore, you can reason from there, I think. No God, having no God, not even hearing of God specifically. Of course, see God in creation and everything, that's fine, yes. But specific information about God, the wrong specific information about God, is to be preferred over the false God, the caricature God, the evil God, the capricious God, the codependent God, the petty God, the cruel God, the evil God of Christianity. Did I get enough adjectives in there? Well, I'll look up more for tomorrow. Not even kidding. Okay, before I get into that, and I got some scriptural evidence for you as always. On Sunday, that is yesterday, there came to be a video, which was part 6 of the Sovereignty series. And it is called God's Sovereignty in Action. This was one of the tapes I made 23 years ago, and our friend Rodney Paris has put some nice turtles behind it. I mean, there is nothing better, more relaxing, I don't think, than hearing about God's, a benevolent God, not an evil God, not a mean God, not the Christian God I just talked about, but a benevolent, loving God running the universe the way he wants, and no one can thwart his purpose. There's nothing more relaxing than hearing that while watching turtles floating through the sea. Oh, I hadn't listened to that tape in 10 years. When I saw those turtles just floating effortlessly through the ocean, and I heard the truth of a benevolent, loving deity who is actually a deity, I'm telling you, if you want to escape this eon, then watch this video. Just came out on Sunday. Hasn't been heard for 15, 20 years. Unless somebody has the old cassettes and they're listening to them, that is quite possible. They have a cassette player still. But for those of you in the fast lane, electronic age, hey, this stuff's on YouTube now. Go to the link down here if you haven't seen it. Part 6 of an 8-part series I did in 1997 called the Sovereignty Series. This one's called God's Sovereignty in Action. You're going to love it. So, in 2000, I wrote my first book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, and I went to Toronto to promote it because there was a guy up there named George Opik, and he said, Zender, why don't you come up here? We'll have a little meeting. I'll advertise it, and you can talk about your new book. I said, let's do it. So, my wife and I went up there. And I met some new friends. We had the meeting. It was great, a rich experience. And there was a guy named Paul. I don't remember his last name, but he was in on the truth, loved to hear what we were talking about, loved the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Well, as most people do, I'm sorry, but it's a good book. If you haven't gotten it, go to martinzender.com, click on that tab that says books on the left, and then you'll see all my books. Order How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Anyway, this guy had little tiny pocket versions of the King James Bible. And one of the things he felt compelled to do was go around Toronto and giving out these Bibles. And So we were hanging out with him one night, George and I, George and Paul. Hey, George and Paul. Yeah. Glad I'm in Toronto with you guys. So we went around and I saw this guy, this smart kid, good guy, Paul, handing out these Bibles. I said, he was rather happy with this work of his. And I said, what the, in my inimitable way, what the hell are you doing, man? Well, I'm getting these people the Word of God. I said, that's not the Word of God. It's the King James Bible, convicted of containing over 20,000 translating errors. I said, the doctrine of eternal torment is taught in that book. And it's true. I mean, with the word, the Greek word aionian, which means age-lasting or enduring for the eons or aeonian, with that word mistranslated eternal, then in several places in the New Testament, you are actively teaching eternal torment. Yeah, one example, Paul writes in Thessalonians, aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord. If you make that eternal extermination from the face of the Lord, there you have it. Matthew 25:46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. The King James Version teaches that. How would you feel if you saw that and you thought that this was the Word of God? I mean, in front of the book, it says Holy Bible. And you go to Matthew 25:46 and you hear about eternal punishment. There it is. You're teaching eternal torment. Of course, with the right word there, aeonian chastisement. What a difference. You're just being disciplined for an eon or two, and then you're saved in the end. If you read other verses, it's true. For instance, my friend Clyde Pilkington, years ago, he got the truth of the salvation of all from the King James Bible in Romans 5:18-19. You know, through the sin of one, all humanity condemned. Through the just act of another, Jesus Christ, the whole race justified. He got it from that. But in order to do that, you have to have a bit of wisdom, knowing that some of this Bible is not right. Some of this Bible is mistranslated because you have these other passages I just mentioned and others that will give you the wrong idea. This is what I told Paul. Oh, but first I have to tell you what Paul told me. So I said, what the hell are you doing? He said, well, it's better than nothing. And that's when it hit me. And I instinctively answered him. I said, no, nothing is better. And I hold to that today. That's right. That's right. 21 years later, I still say to you, nothing is better. Not hearing about any God is better than hearing about the wrong God. Because hearing about the wrong God, getting the wrong idea, I'm basically going to say the same thing with different words. Getting the wrong idea is worse than having no idea. This is why Jesus said to, listen to this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, this is an incredible statement, and I'm going to give you a modern example of it in Matthew 23:15, if I may. Matthew 23:15. I thought I had this marked down. Oh, here we go. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are going about the sea and the dry land to make one proselyte, that is to join one person not of Israel extraction to the gospel of the circumcision. And whenever he may be coming one, you are making him more than double a son of Gehenna than you are. That was Matthew 23:15. What does that mean? It means that you're going out to convert, you Pharisees. You don't think I'm going to apply this to Christianity today and their great missionary enterprises? Oh, yes, I am, because it's the same thing. The Pharisaic, quote, teachers, unquote, teaching the wrong thing about God. And we know that Paul said how arrogant they were, seeking to establish their own righteousness. So they travel far and wide to make a convert to their religion. And what's kind of implicit or suggested in the statement of our Lord's is that they're doing it with the wrong motives. Just like Christianity. How many times have you heard how many people Billy Graham saved at his crusades? And they go out to get a notch on their belt. And they go out and what they end up doing by teaching, see, they teach one God, perhaps. It's even worse today with the Christians. I will get to that. They teach one God, but then by their behavior, the Pharisaic behavior, which rubs off on people, they see that they're hypocrites. Paul lays it out well in Romans chapter 2, that says, "But because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations." What does that tell you? Before the Jews went out to make their converts, the name of God was not blasphemed. Going out making converts produced a poor opinion of God that wasn't there before they went. So they make things worse. They're better off staying home doing nothing. Goes along with my friend Paul. Better off doing nothing. Better off not giving people this King James Bible, no matter how small it is, no matter how handy it is, fits right in your pocket, Paul said to me. Oh, great. The false God fits right into your pocket. I said, you're better off not giving them anything. He was shocked. He didn't agree with me. So if Matthew 23:15 is to be taken seriously, processed, you'd have to say that the Pharisees would have been better off, the people that they went to convert would have been better off without him because they made him double the sons of Gehenna. That they were. How did that happen? Because these people who hadn't heard of the God of Israel, they already had their regular sins going on. They already had their Gentile sins or their, you know, borderline Israel sins. And now added to that were the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Because either they perceived the Pharisaic hypocrisy or they saw it in action. Paul says, you know, you tell people not to steal, you steal. You tell people not to break this law, that law, this law. You break all the laws. What's the number one accusation you hear today against Christians by clear-thinking people who go to church and eventually quit? They say, I couldn't take the hypocrisy. These people are hypocrites. They say one thing in the church, in the pews, they're all holy, and then they go out and they live like the rest of the world. That's called hypocrisy. Me, this is what I like to say. I start at the bottom and I stay there. Yeah, I don't put myself on some moral pedestal. I believe in the grace of God, and by doing that, just happened to be a paragon of moral virtue. It's amazing. So this is how it works. They corrupt people. The whole thing of going out making converts, first of all, with the wrong motivation, just to add to your stature in your own mind. Well, I made this many converts. Oh, yeah, well, I made this many converts. Paul talked about this. When he was in jail, there are many people competing to get Paul's converts. Paul's rolling his eyes in jail, saying, who cares? As long as they're giving the right message, doesn't matter if they get it from me or somebody else. The important thing is that the word of God is heralded. Paul didn't care about this competing with one another. I've told you before, man, I hope I bring the last member into the body of Christ. But I've also said, hey, if you do it, great, I'm happy. Somebody do it, please. Somebody go out there. Give the right message. See, we're into quality, not quantity. Quality. If I had 100,000 viewers on every video instead of 1,000, I'd be wondering, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Is my message becoming too popular? Am I becoming too freaking cool? I gotta quit that, man. So I don't have to worry, though. Because, you know, the snare of the cross is in play still. The snare of the cross being the simplicity of the cross. Oh, somebody accused me again last week of saying, you're teaching cheap grace. You're teaching cheap grace. In other words, the accusation always comes when you're telling me that people can get away with doing all this and they're still saved. People can go out and murder, rob banks, steal, take drugs, and they're still saved. Whenever anybody says that to me, my common response is, yeah, you're finally understanding the grace of God. Congratulations. But the accusation came again, you're teaching cheap grace. And I always say, really? Oh, crap, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that grace is cheap. What I meant to say is that it's free. It's freaking free. That's better than cheap. See, cheap grace in their mind equates, you're making it so people don't have to do enough. Well, God calls us in spite of our behavior, 2 Timothy 1:9. Not in accord with acts. We are called with an evangel, not in accord with our acts. So people can't stand the idea that they don't have to work for salvation. This was the jealousy of the Jews against the nations. You're telling me these people have a greater destiny than we do, and they don't have to do the law of Moses? They don't even have to attempt to do the law of Moses? And Paul, you're actually telling them that the Paul of the Scriptures, not the Paul of Toronto, you're actually telling them that where sin increases, grace superabounds. Yeah. So anyway, I kind of got off the track a little bit there, but not really. I like it. I liked that little rabbit trail. Follow the bunny. Follow the bouncing bunny. He will take you to Revelation. So today, it's the same thing happening. I hate to hear about evangelism. I hate to hear about missionary journeys. Oh, the missionaries. Wasn't that the best thing to be when you went to a Christian service back in the day and you had a missionary coming in to speak? Oh, the missionary. You put out the red carpet for the missionary, and this person was epicness. This person was something everyone wanted to be. Oh, the bravery of the missionary. In a way, they are brave because they're taking out a false gospel. They're taking out a false gospel. And if they were better off staying home, but instead they're going to be subject to greater judgment because they're taking out a false gospel, giving it to people who've never heard of it. People in the bush, the Aborigine, people who are wearing banana peels instead of loincloths. These people are relatively happy. Maybe they're worshiping the sun. Okay, that's better than worshiping the Christian God. I'd rather worship the sun. At least the sun doesn't burn you for eternity. Yeah, if you got too close to it, it'll burn you to a crispy, crackly crunch. But you can't get too close to it, really. So, worshiping the sun is to be preferred, Paul of Toronto, over worshiping the Christian God who torments people with fire hotter than the sun for eternity. Let these people be happy. They're all happy. They're all having their little huts and their families in their huts, and they make tree houses, which are pretty cool, like the Swiss Family Robinson. And what do? We send them missionaries, and we bring them hell. We bring them a message that unless you believe in Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell for eternity. Now they're subject to believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus. Now they're brought this epic decision. Now, why in the practical mind, but not that these people are practical, but wouldn't you have to think that it's better off? Because the Christians think that, well, if you don't hear about Christ, if you don't hear about Christ, then you're not accountable to the message. How can you be? So you get some kind of break in the judgment. The Christians can't explain it. They don't know what kind of a break. But in their mind, they think, well, even those who haven't heard, yeah, they are going to go to hell, but they're going to go to a cooler compartment of hell. Maybe there'll be a place where they serve ice water. Instead of that, they bring them a message where now they're accountable. Because if you don't hear the name of Jesus, you're not accountable to believe in Jesus. So they bring them the name of Jesus, even though it's the false Jesus, the pop icon Jesus. But in their minds, I can't understand how they actually follow through with this. Because they think they're lost for eternity without hearing about Jesus. But if you're going to be practical according to that sick message, you're making them double the sons of Gehenna, because now you're presenting them with this life and death awesome decision that depends on you, and you turn these happy people wearing banana peels into nerve-wracked chain smokers, because did I believe correctly? Now they're going to have the same phobias as the Christians. Did I believe correctly? Should I go to the altar again? Was I sincere enough? Did I sin too much today? What does God think of me today? The heathen, these people in the bush, they don't care about that. They don't think about that because they're living more in accord with human nature, which is ruined. Human nature is beset by sin and death, yes, but human nature by itself, left alone from sin and death, is actually in accord with God. Of course, it is. Paul said, those who, speaking of the nations, those who by nature do the things of the law by nature. So nature's not evil. It's just been idled. It's been, compromised by sin and death. So leave these people alone. Hey, missionary, leave those heathen alone. That's a good one. Hey, missionary, leave the heathen alone. Let them be happy. Don't bring your phobias to them. If you do, then you better bring about 10,000 packs of Marlboro Lights so they can survive your hypocrisy, adapting your hypocrisy, because it spreads like gangrene. Your BS, your eternal torment, your free will, it spreads like gangrene. People hear it, and they're better off not hearing it. Ooh, I want to talk about Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council. I'm going to continue this tomorrow. I like this theme. I'm going to talk about Hitler and Darwin. Hitler and Darwin. I'm going to launch onto Hitler and Darwin and maybe even Joel Osteen because they all belong in the same category. Okay, we're going to go to Hitler, Darwin, Joel Osteen. But to get there, I'm going to jump off from Acts 15:10. Hey, don't try this at home. You might get hurt. I'm a trained professional. But stay tuned tomorrow. Oh, and before we go, don't forget, hit the link down here. I hate to say these things. Hit the link. Hit the notification bell. You don't have to do any of that. Don't hit the notification bell if you don't want to be notified. Don't hit like if you don't like this video. Do not hit like. And do not subscribe if you don't want to subscribe. I don't care. I'm not out for subscribers. I'm out to give you the truth. Link down here. It's to the video published yesterday called God's Sovereignty in Action. Believe it or not, God's sovereignty is in action right freaking now.